think you can't be a rainmaker because you're not outgoing enough or aren't interesting enough? Want to be a rainmaker, but think it's something for later, when you've got more experience, have more time, or just down the road when you're more ready. These thoughts are the real reason you're not yet a rainmaker. And today we dive deep into why they're holding you back and how to overcome them. Because anyone can be a rainmaker, even you, without becoming someone you're not. Hey there, I'm Heather Mulder, former big law partner turned lawyer coach, here to help you build a profitable practice that reflects your values and respects your life. Tune in weekly for anti-hustle strategies on business development, mindset, leadership, and well-being, so you can create sustainable success in both law and life, because you didn't become a lawyer just to chase billables and burnout. This is Life in Law. Well, hey there, everybody. This is Heather Mulder, your host of Life in Law. And today we get into some rainmaker myths that I want to bust through so that you can become a rainmaker should you want to. And even if you think, that's not for me, Heather, I want you to listen to today's podcast because I think there's a lot of myths around what rainmakers are, what rainmakers do, and we're going to bust through those today. So at least keep an open mind, listen to them completely, and then you can make up your mind. And even for those of you who might think you're not there yet, you're too young, maybe you're even just in your first couple of years of practice, you're going to want to listen today too, because some of this really is about a mindset that you want to take on early on, and the earlier, the better for you. And know what you're getting into and know what a rainmaker really is, okay? So that's going to help you today. So let's just get right to it. Here's one of the common thoughts that I find most lawyers have that convinces them they can't possibly be a rainmaker. I hate selling, right? You hate selling, quote unquote. I'm going to put that in air quotes. Now, here's the deal. First off, rainmaking isn't actually about selling. You need to change your mentality around this. And selling isn't even what you think it is, okay? You need to change your mentality around what selling even is. A lot of people that I talk to who feel this way say things like, well, I don't like asking for favors, or I'm going to be an imposition to other people, or I shouldn't have to, quote unquote, sell. And usually they have that I shouldn't have to because they have these negative thoughts around what selling is. So first off, selling is really just the exchange of money for goods or services. That's a sale. And marketing and rainmaking isn't really about selling. Yes, you want to make eventually a sale, but it's really about allowing people to get to know you, letting people know who you are, what you do, how you do it, so that they can make an informed decision. It's also, you know, the networking part that we think of as, you know, rainmakers are so great at networking. That's not to sell either. That's to get to know people better. That's so that, yes, you can help them and they can help you. But understand, networking, people go into it for reciprocity. That's what it's supposed to be. That's why we network. And there's nothing wrong with that. But further than that, the point is also to get to know people and build real relationships with them so that you can get to know their vision, their goals, their struggles, their problems, and how you might be able to help them. And often you're not the one to help them. You may be able to introduce them to somebody else. You may be able to make a referral. You may be able to give them some advice or a tip, right? And vice versa. So it's not really about selling. Now, there was an interesting article. It's based on the Rainmaker Genome Project, which was a survey sponsored by NTAP and conducted by DCM Insights. And it was shared, I think, at the LMA annual meeting back in 2023. It very clearly, if you look at this, and I'm going to put a link to the written portion of this in the show notes so you can go look at it yourself, but it's very clear, based on their study, that most successful rainmakers don't really, quote unquote, sell. Okay, it's not about selling. The best, absolute best rainmakers out there. And you probably want to go read this article because it kind of breaks down the different styles and types, and it makes very clear the best at it are connectors. They connect. But maybe not in the way you think. Here's what they do. They create a wide network with real depth. So it's deep and wide. What that means is they don't just get to know and keep people in that their network who are their perfect clients. They get to know a lot of different people. They get to know other service providers in their niche, in their industry. They get to know all kinds of people that could be helpful within the network of people that they have for them and their network. That's really important. And then they connect clients and others to those people when needed. They're good at asking questions. We've talked about this before. They're good at listening. They're good at then saying, oh, I know somebody who might be able to help you, and introducing. And here's an important point. They do this with their colleagues too. Cross-selling is very big with these folks. They are not afraid to share the wealth. And I will tell you, some of my most successful clients, in fact, my most successful clients, not some, cross-sell. And not everybody wants to, and not everybody is in a firm culture that allows them to, but if you can, it can be hugely beneficial for you. This is what service-based business development is all about, y'all. It's not about selling. It's about helping, serving, and a lot of that is through connecting. Number two, you have zero idea where to begin. Because there are a million things you could do, but only so much time, and it's overwhelming to figure out. So you just can't, right? You keep putting it off. That's going to stop now. It's time to do something. The myth here is believing that you have to go all in, that believing that you have to do all these things, believing that you have to figure out the perfect thing right now. No, something is better than nothing. Now, you do want to make it strategic. So ask and answer some important questions. And by the way, be on the lookout, because not too long from now, in a couple of episodes, we're going to be talking about strategic legal marketing, and we're going to get more in depth into how to do marketing very strategically and how to pick the strategies, the right ones for you. So be on the lookout for that. But to get started now, I want you to ask, okay, what am I good at? What are my skills? You have skills. You know what they are. What are they? Then ask, okay, so why do people come to me for advice, for solutions? This isn't just about skills, by the way. It's about what I like to call strengths. So for example, I'm really good at breaking down complex ideas into simple steps or simple categories. And I showcase that in my storytelling on LinkedIn, here on my podcast, and also how I choose to teach things. If you haven't noticed, that's what a strength is. Knowing your strengths is gold. Because you're very good at it and you can showcase it easily, because showcasing it attracts better fit clients, because it kind of shows your way of doing and thinking, how you lawyer. It's going to attract people who want that. It makes legal marketing and networking more interesting, even fun, because when you utilize your strengths and skills, you're more motivated to do it. And it can help you figure out what you want to do for your marketing. Because when you take your strengths and your skills, it more naturally leads you to some, oh, I could do this. So what are you truly good at? What are your skills? Why do people come to you for advice and solutions? What are your strengths? And what do you actually enjoy doing? Do you enjoy speaking? Do you enjoy presenting? Do you enjoy writing? Maybe you enjoy speaking, but not at big events. So start smaller with presentations to clients of the firm where your skills are needed, but you don't get a lot of work yet. Try podcast interviews. I don't see a lot of lawyers doing that, and there's tons of podcasts out there that would love to have you that are in front of your people. Narrow down your options by taking into account your skills, your strengths, your personality, and then choose one thing to start with and just do that. Something is better than nothing. And a lot of times this really comes into play for marketing. A lot of lawyers don't like to do marketing. So I'm giving you a blueprint for how to get started, how to narrow it down and get started with something. Just do it, get consistent with it, and see where it goes. That's how you get measurable results that you can do something with. Reason three, you're introverted. The number of times Heather, I'm introverted, so I won't be a good speaker, or I'll never be good at networking. Let me just tell you, that's a big fat lie your brain is telling you. Rainmakers are not one personality type. In fact, if you go back to what makes for the best rainmaking, as per that study or survey that I mentioned earlier, it's two things. Having a service-first mentality is number one. And number two, prioritizing making deep and broad connections. And guess what? That's what introverts are really, really good at. Now, it doesn't really matter whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, because you can do this. Most lawyers, I will note, are more introverted. You may not realize that. Everybody thinks they're one of the only ones. No, most lawyers are introverted. Yes, there are extroverted lawyers, and we all know and see them because extroverts are amazing at being seen and noticed. But honestly, a majority of lawyers are more introverted. It's important to accept and acknowledge this so that you can internalize it and move past this excuse. And by the way, a side note, this is why I created my mastermind, Elevate. There is something quite powerful about surrounding yourself with like-minded attorneys who are on a similar journey. You see yourself in them. They hold a mirror up to you, which shows you your own strengths and how you can be more confident. It's what makes you finally get to, I can do this and I can do this well, instead of, well, maybe I'm doing something wrong or something is wrong with me. No, nothing is wrong with you. And surrounding yourself with people like you will show you this very quickly. It will build your confidence. And then guess what? You'll have people to support you and hold you accountable to taking action, which means you'll start taking more action and you'll start to see real results. So if this is resonating with you, there's some good news. My business development mastermind, Elevate, will be back soon. And right now, you can sign up to get on the waitlist. The waitlist will give you some early bird perks, like joining early, a payment plan, extra time with me. So if that sounds at all intriguing and you want to learn more, head to lifeandlawpodcast.com and click the Elevate banner to learn more at the top. Okay, so let's move on to number four. This one's a big one. You don't think you have enough time for business development. I hate to break this one to you, but you make time for the things that are truly important. It all comes down to, is building or growing your book really a priority for you? Now, I hope so, because it is by far the best way to get control of your law practice and your life. And I got to tell you, I hear so many lawyers telling, I just don't have control. I have no control. Control is a big deal with us lawyers, right? Well, you want control? Build your own practice your way. This is how to build a practice that actually energizes you each morning and doesn't drain the life out of you by the evening. Now, something to note about time. Most of us assume the time commitment will be astronomical or just way too much. That's not necessarily true. It can take a lot of time. But it truly depends on what you choose to do. Again, you do not need to do all the things. You can pick one main marketing activity and then get super strategic in your networking. Most of my clients spend maybe an hour per week with a bit more time up front when figuring out the plan and doing some basic research and prep work. It does take a little more up front. But they spend about an hour per week on follow-up, on writing, on it's a variety of things, right? Some do spend more, but I'll tell you, that is a choice. It's a proactive choice. It all depends on your current practice, your current circumstances, your current goals, and your time commitments. Something is better than nothing. Okay, final one. This is also a big one, and I hear this a lot from people who are not quite partners or young partners. And they're kind of in that area where you need to start doing things to build a book, but you feel like you're not ready. Heather, I'm not an expert. I'm not an expert in my niche. I need to wait. I need to wait a little while, right? Wait until I'm a quote-unquote expert. Let me just note, you're probably more of an expert than you give yourself credit for. But also, even if you aren't, even if you're just in your first couple of years, you don't have to be the expert you think you need to be. I have seen people post on LinkedIn and other places about what they're learning as they learn, which gives them a following and eventually brings in business way before they are quote unquote experts in the field. No matter your experience, you can get clients. So long as you know your limits, get support when needed, do your best, you can market yourself ethically. And if you're in a bigger firm, you can market on behalf of others if you're not quite there yet. That is perfectly fine. Still get some of that origination credit. You do not have to have all the answers or need to be the best. You don't even need to be an expert yet. Most people hire lawyers because they know them, they like them, and they trust them. Credibility is usually more about ethics and trust. Do you know your limits? Do you get help from the right people when needed? Do you know when to reach out for help? That is much, much more important than you being the expert. So get out there and get started. Okay, hopefully I've convinced at least some of you who have been waiting on the sidelines thinking I can't be a rainmaker. Okay, Heather, I'm going to give this a start. Again, I encourage you, if you're interested in checking out Elevate, doors will open soon and you can get on the wait list now so that you will be the first to hear and get some of those perks. That is it for today. Bye for now. Thank you for tuning in to Life in Law. Want more practical anti-hustle strategies designed to help you grow with purpose, lead with clarity, and build sustainable success that actually feels like success? Join Success Without Sacrifice, my free weekly newsletter for lawyers who want more control, more impact, and lots more fun. Go to lifeandlawpodcast.com to join now.